Hi, welcome to episode 334 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, expert Woo Lee Master. Today, Fantastic Four, 334 from December 1989, Shadows of Alarm, by the new writer Walt Simonson and the same old artist Rich Buckler. So here it is, the start of Walt Simonson's run on the book, one of my favorite runs on the FF. And while he starts drawing the covers with this issue, he doesn't start doing the interior art until issue 337. These next three issues feel more like a bridge between the Steve Englehart run and the Walt Simonson run proper, cleaning up the mess left by John Harkness and setting the stage for the rest of his run. And you would think the first order of business would be to get rid of the She-Thing, but guess what? Nope. He keeps her around. These next three issues are part of Marvel's Acts of Vengeance crossover, where there's this huge plot to mix up the supervillains and have them fight superheroes they don't normally fight, which is probably one of my favorite crossovers because it's fairly non-obtrusive. It's a simple idea. We get to see some villains in the FF we don't normally get to see, and it's self-contained. A reader in 1989 didn't have to go out and pick up a 12-issue Acts of Vengeance miniseries and buy a bunch of other comics to get the whole story. If you want to read just these three issues of the FF, you can, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. So our story starts at night with the Fantastic Four headquarters, the Fantastic Freedom Four Towers, we'll just call it the FF building, and this mysterious cloaked figure, which kind of looks like Doctor Doom, but probably isn't, lands on the roof of the building. The alarms seem down, so he's able to secretly place this small device on the roof, and he turns and he flies away. Down on the street below, Ben Grimm, still a human, and Sharon Ventura, still a She-Thing, enter the lobby after a night of shopping together. He must really love her. And they take the elevator up. But when they get up to the headquarters and exit the elevator, an alarm goes off, and Ben and Sharon are grabbed and pinned to the wall by these metallic arms. Reed enters the room and tells them he was just running some tests on the security systems. He's been upgrading the systems after their recent break-in. He says he thought that Ben and Sharon were going to go out and see the movie Batman, and Ben replies, "What? Me go see a flick about some bozo wearing colored long johns? Colored long johns? More like a black suit of body armor. With a yellow target on his chest? Hanging out in a million-dollar mansion with Kim Basinger? That stuff's too unreal for me." Just wait until he sees the Fantastic Four movies. Batman's gonna look like Citizen Kane. And then he reveals Batman was sold out. And then Ben goes to walk away and he slips on a can that fell out of Sharon's groceries, and he falls on his ass. So then, Reed says he's got to get back to his lab, and Sharon tells Reed not to worry. Ben saw Batman at an earlier show, and he loved it. So he's embarrassed that he liked the 1989 Batman movie? I know how he feels. I'm embarrassed to say that I liked the 1994 Fantastic Four movie. Best one of the bunch, by far. Meanwhile, back outside, another mysterious figure in a trench coat shows up, and he takes off his coat and he starts climbing up the side of the building, saying to himself that someone must destroy the Fantastic Four and that someone must be him. Back inside, Sue is helping Ben up and reminding him that he's not indestructible anymore. He says that Reed seems to be happy to be back at FF headquarters, working on experiments and building stuff, and Sue replies that he did miss his work in his labs, and he missed Ben too. So Ben is joking around about Reed, and Sharon picks him up and carries him off. In Reed's lab, he's hard at work, and just sitting around are Johnny and Elijah the Scroll. They don't have a better place to hang out. Or has Reed turned the living room into a lab? Johnny's reading a newspaper, and Elijah is on the computer. But she's like Alicia. She's blind. It looks like it's just a normal computer, too, and she's looking right there at the screen. Doesn't make sense. So Johnny's heard that Ben slipped on the can, and he thinks that's pretty funny. So back outside, that guy is still climbing up the building. And back in his lab, Reed shows Johnny what he's been working on. It's a retinal scanning device for the building's security system. And speaking of security systems, the alarm goes off. They all rush off down the hall and find that guy who broke in. It's the Constrictor. And what does the Constrictor do? What do you think he does? He constricts. But in this case, he sleeps, because he got hit with the building's knockout gas. The cops come in and take him away, but this leaves the FF wondering why he was trying to break in the first place. Later, they're all sitting around discussing this, but Sue says they have more important things to discuss. The U.S. government has proposed a Superhero Registration Act, which is kind of like gun control legislation, only for people with superpowers. Of course, as Johnny says, if superpowers are outlawed, only outlaws will have superpowers. Actually, I don't think it works that way. I think you really can't take away people's superpowers. Sue says that she thinks the law might have some kind of military application, like the government might want to try to draft superheroes into the service. Meanwhile, outside, there's another mysterious guy in a trench coat. This issue has really exceeded its quota on mysterious guys hiding in the shadows in trench coats. Now, this guy wants to destroy the Fantastic Four as well, and he's thinking that the Human Torch once defeated him a long, long time ago, and he starts flying toward the FF building, and it's pretty obvious, as we see the back of him, is the Beetle. Back inside, the FF are still discussing the Superhero Registration Act, and Sue has a very astute observation. She says, "I'm not sure they're concerned about the emotional health of superheroes. I think they're just frightened." Oh, well, of course they are. They live in a world where buildings keep getting smashed, roads are destroyed, and taxi cabs are being mutilated. And that's just because of Ben Grimm. Add in all the other heroes and villains, and the people of the Marvel Earth have good reason to be scared. So Franklin enters the room, and even though he was supposed to be in bed, and he lies and he says he wanted some water. So Reed grabs him, tickles him, and takes him off to get some water, and Franklin says he also wants to ride on a dinosaur. And in one of the creepiest things I've ever seen Reed do with his powers, he contorts his body into the shape of a dinosaur, albeit a small dinosaur, in a blue and white costume, and Franklin rides off on him. So the Beetle arrives and smashes through the door on the roof. Back with Reed and Sue, they're putting their son to bed, and he says he wants to go to the Museum of Natural History in Washington and see dinosaurs. Walt Simonson takes over the book, and suddenly Franklin is obsessed with dinosaurs. Go figure. At least he's not asking to use the Torino XL anymore. So the alarm goes off, and once again, the FF rush off to see who is broken in now. And they find the Beetle, locked up in shackles that came out of the wall. He says, "I'm going to report this to every newspaper in town. I want a lawyer. I want TV coverage. Someone's going to pay for this in spades." I don't think he's got a very good case. Sharon suggests they ought to class up their act, because lately, it seems they're attracting a lower order of villains. So once again, they call the cops, and they take the Beetle away. The next morning, the gang are having breakfast and talking about the Superhero Registration Act again, and this day, they're planning to go to Washington, D.C. to testify in front of Congress. They don't seem to know if the authorities would keep a registered superhero's secret identity a secret. Of course, if they would release a video of Justin Bieber taking a leak, I doubt they would have any qualms about telling the world who Moon Knight really is, as if anyone would care. Ben says he sure as hell wouldn't trust the government with any secret info of his. No siree. And then, the alarm goes off again. This time, the entire team doesn't go to investigate, just Johnny and Sharon. A little later, the cops have arrived, and this time they're dragging the Shocker off in handcuffs. This is quite vexing to the Fantastic Four. Why are all these strange non-FF villains trying to attack their headquarters? Reed says that he's going to look it up later, but for now, they got to get in the Fantastic Car and head off to DC. They get back inside, start getting the Fantastic Car ready. Franklin is going nuts at the opportunity to see dinosaur bones. A few minutes later, the ship is ready and they take off. And then, that little device that was attached to the building at the beginning of the issue flies off and attaches itself to the Fantastic Car. Ben is making himself useful, for a change, by flying the ship. He mentions that it's a lot easier to drive without his big orange rocky hands. In the back, Sharon is busy reading a book called The Dancing Wu Li Masters by Gary Zukav. According to Wikipedia, it's a popular New Age book about mysticist interpretations of quantum physics. According to the book, the Wu Li Master dances with his student. The Wu Li Master does not teach, but the student learns. The Wu Li Master always begins at the center, the heart of the matter. Sounds like a terrible book, but it sounds like Simonson's subtle way of differentiating the she thing from the he thing. Ben would never read anything like that. He only reads stupid shit, like DC Comics. So back at the Fantastic Four building, they have two more uninvited guests, but this time, they're not villains, and they're not lame. It's Captain America and Thor. It seems their Avengers headquarters was recently destroyed, so they need a new place to hang out for a while. Seems only fair, since the Fantastic Four hung out at Avengers Mansion after the Baxter Building was destroyed. However, when Cap uses his ID card given to him by Reed and tries to open the door, an alarm goes off, and a voice tells them they have 10 seconds to clear the area. And then, an electrical blast knocks them on their asses, and a voice tells them they have 30 seconds to clear the roof. Shouldn't they start with the 30-second warning and then go down to the 10-second warning? Maybe if they stay long enough, they'll get a warning that tells them they must be gone in an hour. And eventually, oh, fuck it, just hang out for a while. So Cap figures Reed must have changed the locks. And then these laser cannons come out of the floor and fire a couple of shots. Thor wants to trash them, but Cap tells him not to bother. So Thor picks up Captain America and they fly off. And next, we head down to the New York subways, where we see another mysterious figure, shrouded in shadows, wearing a trench coat. He jumps the turnstile without paying. Bastard. He heads to Penn Station, and to a train that will take him to D.C. Another mysterious figure in a trench coat is on Route 46 in New Jersey, trying to hitchhike down to Washington. But he doesn't seem to be having any luck. Which is strange, because normally, people are so eager to pick up hitchhikers in trench coats, staying in the shadows. And we see a couple more mysterious guys, one in a helicopter, and another taking a bus. Oh, this is crazy. It's a mad issue of the Fantastic Four. And back with the Fantastic Four, someone asks if they think they'll have any trouble because of that evil clone FF that was running around New York City last issue, but Reed doesn't think so. I guess they fixed the problem up between issues. We see that little device on the bottom of the Fantastic car, which is most likely going to be a problem next issue. Ben ironically says that he's looking forward to some peace and quiet. And as they fly toward Washington, right toward the Capitol building, Franklin again says he wants to see dinosaurs. He really does want to see dinosaurs, but I can't tell if he's talking about dinosaur bones or Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond. So that's how the issue ends, and coming next time, it's the FF vs. more lame assholes. Plant Man, the Quill, Flying Tiger, the Eel, Mad Dog, and the U.S. Congress. So that's it for now. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. My other podcast, Comic Book Doggerel, D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L, can be found at iTunes or search for it at podomatic.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.